Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
534 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Some guests and Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. 9990 Jasper Avenue, Roost Chris. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. You can tell Brendan, Chris, and Chef L. Taft that Oilers Now sent you. It's open Tuesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close. 4 o'clock in Oilers game days. See you good Friday, Roost Chris. All right, let's go to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. We welcome back to the show for Abe's Door Service, where services are specially. Visit abesdoor.ca. The one, the only one of the most plugged-in men in the business. It was great seeing him Saturday in Toronto. We welcome back to the show, Elliot Friedman. Hello, Elliot. How are you doing?
I'm good, Bob. How are you doing?
Good. It was, you know, it's always interesting when Edmonton goes to Toronto, right? Because I remember when Dallas Eakins healthy scratch Neil Yakupov, and all I could think of is, don't do that here in Dallas. Don't, four games in a lens, just don't do it here. You know what? Wait a couple more games. If he's not going, you want to scratch him in Carolina, you know, but not in Toronto. And as the Leafs were running it up on the Oilers midway through that second period, I'm like, oh, why did you have to pick tonight to take 30 minutes off in a game? Because there really is nothing quite like Toronto, and the reality is people make grandiose statements based on short-term results, and it was just one of those nights, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, look, honestly, it was disappointing, Bob. I mean,
yes, it was.
Saturday night, Edmonton, Toronto, there's a lot of star power on the ice, and you want to have a good game. You know, you really want to have something enjoyable. And Edmonton got off to a quick start, but then they got beat pretty bad. And you know, out come the takes. And, you know, in this day and age, the fans can be pretty merciless on social media. And the Leaf fans were giving it pretty good the other night. And, you know, it was interesting. Like, to me, the most interesting thing was just kind of like the Kane fallout. In the sense that, you know, I didn't think the conversation on the bench was that bad. Without hearing what was said, I've seen a lot worse. Like, it didn't look like angry to me or anything like that. But, of course, then he doesn't play the next night. And, you know, clearly he wasn't happy about it. And he played last night, and you guys won in a really entertaining game. And you know, obviously he was a bit more effective, I thought, but he was unhappy. And I think you guys are okay with him being a little unhappy if you're going to send him a message. And I just thought the whole thing was pretty interesting. And we'll see where it goes. You need him once the playoffs start. He's a great forechecker. The playoffs are all about forechecking, and it just, you know, I think the Oilers wanted to make him a little uncomfortable and see how he would handle it.
Well,
so
I got to
see where it goes.
I got to give credit where credit's due. Now, I saw a tree in the morning. We happened to, Brendan Shanahan came by. It's great to see he still has a sense of humor, Elliot, as you know. Had a little fun at my expense. That was funny. You know, Tree's true to his word. Like, he built a big, heavy, tough team, not just in the NHL, but in the American League as well in Calgary. And I know he's taken some criticism. And some of it's from some of the younger, more analytics-driven types out there and who really like Dubas. But there was always a perception that the Leafs, weren't tough enough come playoff time. And it's clear Toronto has attempted to address that And I frankly, you use the word disappointment. I was disappointed in the Oilers' pushback against Toronto. Like when Joel Edmondson flattens Connor McDavid in a sequence in which you could have called him for the hook, you could have called him for the slash, you definitely could have called him for the hit from behind. And then McDavid looks at the ref, realizes there's no penalty, so he can turn around and whack him back. There needed to be... There's one of two ways you go. You either challenge the guys that are doing it, or you tell the guys that are doing it, other guys in your team are going to pay for it. And Edmonton, I didn't really think, had the requisite pushback in that game. I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Well, look, I thought they did push you guys around. And, you know, I didn't see everything online. You know, one of my buddies, after our podcast dropped on Monday, one of my buddies said to me, do you read the discourse on your pod? And I said, not really. I mean, my belief is I say what I have to say, and then people are free to discuss. And also, you can't really keep track of all that stuff. And, you know, he said it was a bit crazy. So I don't know exactly what it was. But, you know, Toronto's had a reputation as a team that gets, you know, pushed around a little bit in the last couple of years. And, you know, one of the things is, and we showed it actually on Sunday night before their game against Carolina, just how, what they've done to their defense this year, just in terms of listed sizes. They've gone from having, like, I think now their shortest defenseman is 6'1 or 6'2. And, like, they used to have a bunch of guys who were under 200 pounds. Now I think 6 of 8 are over 200 pounds. And you got to be mobile. I mean, that's the one thing that you have to remember here is that you take a look at the D that wins Stanley Cups lately. It's Vegas. It's Tampa. It's Colorado. They have, like, the year that Colorado beat Tampa, the smallest defenseman in the final was, by the way they're listed, is Cale Makar, who's obviously one of the best defensemen in the league. So I think you have to be mobile, but you have to set up a kind of picket fence. And I think the latter is definitely what Tree Living's trying to do, and Toronto's trying to find their groove. But, you know, they pushed them around. They roughed up Draisaitl and McDavid a bit. And, you know, I don't think that those guys should – I mean, they're going to take hits because of who they are. But, you know, you also have to send a message that, you know, you're not going to tolerate that, or you're going to do something about it. And you guys really didn't on Saturday night. And, you know, I think Toronto fans left that game feeling a bit differently about themselves than they had a lot over the past few years. Like, whoa, now we're doing that to some other people. So, I didn't think it was a great night for you guys. I think it was frustrating. And, I mean, you know it's going to happen to some degree, but it can't happen without a message or a pushback. And I thought a lot of people felt that was lacking on Saturday night.
So, Evander Kane, you know, maintenance on Sunday. Yep. Oilers play Winnipeg. Corey Perry picks a fight with Logan Stanley, who's a mammoth man.
Yeah, big man.
And then, you know, Nurse jumps in after Perry gets pushed, you know, belted by Brendan Dillon with a hit, and Darnell Nurse steps up. And I liked what the Oilers, the pushback Edmonton had last night. So maybe there was a learning lesson on that. Let me ask you this.
Well, like I would say this. Like, Bob, you're closer there to me than me. You're there every day. I have heard, and it's always, I mean, you could say this about every player at this time of year. I've heard that Kane is not 100%.
Yeah.
Now, so that's true, but clearly, you know, if you, the way that the media on Sunday in Ottawa interpreted the way Knobloch said it, they weren't buying that he needed a maintenance day. And if you saw, and I mean, you were there, you know, Kane's scrum on Tuesday morning in Winnipeg, it was clear he didn't think he needed a maintenance day. So, like, not everybody was on the same page on this one. But, again, you know, like I think it's probably a little bit of the chicken and the egg. You know, Kane has dropped down the lineup a bit. I'm sure he wants to be higher in the lineup. But the Oilers are going to say, look, if you want to be higher in the lineup, you've got to play better. Like, to me, this is ramping up for the playoffs. And like I said earlier, a guy like Kane is very important in the postseason because he is an excellent forechecker. And I, like I said earlier, I do believe very strongly that a lot of where you win in the postseason is about how good your forecheck game is. And, you know, I think the Oilers know it, that they're going to need him at his best when game 83 starts. And I think they want to maybe put like a burr under his saddle a bit just to make sure that he's ready for game 83.
Well, they're going to need him. They're going to need him to be way better than he's been. He'd be the first to tell you that he has an impact. He doesn't got a goal in 17 games. They need more juice out of Evander. Again, Oilers take on L.A. tomorrow night. You were at the NHL GMs meetings. They discussed a change, the ability to challenge high stick, two-minute minor high sticking calls.
I went with you guys last night.
Can you believe that?
Probably got that. Yeah, that penalty happening last night probably got that rule accepted. You know, it's funny to me. I was actually talking with one of the managers about it today, and I said, "Did you see that last night?" And his team was playing, so he hadn't seen it. And I told him to go check it out, and he sent me a note later. And we were talking about replay and. You know, just like there's people who believe very strongly we don't need any more replay. And I understand that because it can make games longer. But what he said to me was the managers feel that the most important thing is to get the call right.
Yes.
So if you're going to ask them to expand replay, they will probably agree with it as long as it gives them more opportunities to get the call right. And, like, you know what, you're right. Like, last night, that call, that would have been overturned. And it might be overturned as soon as next season. You know, it's just a reminder to me this is a really fast game.
Yeah.
And, you know, mistakes happen. It's that simple.
Yeah, well, and it could have been a two-point swing for Edmonton. I mean, they could have scored on the power play, and the Oilers could have lost. We had a couple calls, and again, it's a loser's lament to complain about officiating. You know that. But there were some interesting calls. Like, you think of the sequence where Edmondson gets the finishing blow on McDavid after a hook on the zone entry, no call, and then Desharné takes a penalty for a clean check, angling a guy off, and gets the puck all in one motion. And then the penalty on Ekholm to give Ottawa a power play in a game in which they didn't have the puck for the final 3 minutes. It that sort of stuff, whatever, that happens. But to see the one last night, I was like, oh man, that's a tough call. Got to kill it. Fortunately, Edmonton found a way.
Well, at least next year, that it's probably going to be correctable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. Are you hearing anything on Arizona at all? I know I ask you this.
No, I think they're going to. It really looks to me like they're going to give this a chance to go to the auction, which is going to be in June. I thought the date was supposed to be set this week, but obviously it hasn't been. Bettman said last week he has a pretty good idea when it's going to be. And it's going to be in June. And so, like, what it says to me, Bob, is that they're going to try to get there and see if he can win it or what happens. And, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, I'm not an expert on Arizona politics, and I wouldn't claim to be. But someone said to me to just watch how it's worded to see if that's a tell in terms of anything. I'm still waiting for it to be announced. Once it's posted, it's 10 weeks until the auction can take place. I mean, we're already in the last week of March. So, you know, we're looking at second week of June. And, you know, like I said, I think they're going through with alternate plans in case something happens. But as the commissioner and the deputy commissioner said last week in Florida, if we go to June and we go to the auction and it doesn't turn out as expected with the owner, Alex Merlo, winning it, it's probably too late to move for next year. So we'll see. We'll see how it all goes.
Our headliner today is brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, Wilhauk today. Trent Wilhauk and company will take care of you. And we are joined by NHL Hockey and Rogers analyst and Arizona political commentator Elliot Friedman here on Oilers
That's
Now.
That's pretty good, Bob.
Abe's Door Service, where services are specially, visit abesdoor.ca. Well, news out of Washington on two fronts, and we've already discussed Ethan Barron. We're all cheering for him in his battle and supporting him because that's what needs to be done in these situations.
100%.
Is there going to be repercussions out of, maybe explain to the listeners what happened with some plans for the Capitals organization?
Well, a couple months ago, I can't remember the exact date, but Ted Leonsis, who's the owner of the Capitals and the NBA Wizards, announced that they were moving. It sounds far, but it really wasn't that far distance-wise to the state of Virginia to build a new arena. And so that he had a big media conference about it. It immediately appeared that there were some major hurdles right away. And then today it was announced that site in Virginia was done. It was not happening. And then about 2.5 hours ago, they announced that they'd reached a deal with Washington, D.C., about $500 million to refurbish or update the existing arena. And I think they're going to get some land around it. Possibility of a new practice facility, too, I think. So basically, the Capitals won't be moving to a new area in the region. They'll be staying where they are. It sounds like some old-fashioned hardball, Bob, where an owner threatens to move to get what they want. They got something. And like it wasn't really leaving the region. It was more leaving the exact location, but they weren't leaving the region. But ultimately, they're staying where they are. And
you ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't know if it's everything that the Capitals wanted to get, but it is something. It is improvement. And they made that announcement today.
Nashville Predators, what a story.
Yeah. I mean, it's I actually turned off that game last night. It was 4-1, and I started looking elsewhere at some of the other good games that were going on. And the next thing I knew, it was in overtime. And that also had a very close offside review that could have gone either way. I thought that I think it's amazing. I think their goaltending has been great. You know, Josi to me is not just a Norris candidate anymore. He's a Hart guy now too. Like I think he should be considered for both awards. You know, O'Reilly's having a great year. Forsberg is having a great year. And a lot of their depth players have played very well. And I think the other thing, too, is they did make some moves at the deadline to subtract, but they made sure they filled all the holes. Like, they traded Trennan, who's a good player, who they couldn't sign, and they traded him to Colorado, but they went out and they made sure they got someone like Jason Zucker to make sure that they didn't lose, they didn't create a hole in their lineup. Like, I don't, like, all of a sudden, they're not far back of Winnipeg. And I don't know that this is going to keep itself up, but they've been really good. And you know what? The other thing, too, is all of a sudden, you know, Vegas now, they got a huge win. That was a big win in St. Louis on Monday night. They lost that game last night, although they still got a point. You know, it's interesting. Like, Aiden Hill's out now. You know, Petrangelo isn't on this road trip. You know, they're battling some things. Now we'll see when everybody starts to come back, and they should be okay because they've got games in hand and they're ahead, and and you know, they believe they're going to get healthy, but you know, all of it, this has been a shakier ride for Vegas than I really expected. And now Vancouver's got some injury issues too with Lindholm, although I'm not worried about Demko. They put him on LTIR today. I think that was more paperwork, and sure, they don't want to rush Demko back anyway. But the Lindholm thing, I don't know if anybody has a really good answer here about where that one is going as we speak right now.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. It was great to see Hyman snipe his 51st last night. That was a beauty, and the man is a testament to hard work and will. It's a great addition for the Oilers. Arguably one of the greatest free agent signings of all time. Like Zdeno Chara, great free agent signing for Boston. Best free agent signing in Oilers history, Elliot, just to wrap up. I mean, the guy's gone 27-36, now 51 goals in his first 3 years in Edmonton. And what an addition for this franchise.
Well, look, I mean, people debate the best free agent signing of all time. For me, it's Chara. Hyman could definitely be Edmonton's, but in the cap era, yeah, I think Chara is the guy for me. You know, we should also mention Panarin. I think that's, you know, he's probably a guy who doesn't get enough Hart Trophy consideration. I mean, look, like Hyman is a heck of a player. And there's no question he's done more than what was expected. Like, I think the people who saw him play here, they really respected him as a player. But I would tell you, I never saw 50 goals coming. Like, that's incredible. And but, you know, I think the other thing, too, that's important, Bob, is that he's been a fit in the framework of the team, too.
Sure.
Like, he's become a big voice, and you know, McDavid and Draisaitl and Nurse, your major leader guys, like they really lean on him. So it's been a great fit on the ice and a great fit off of it, and I'm really happy for him.
Awesome stuff. Elliot, thank you for joining us here in Oilers. When does 32 Thoughts come out this week?
It'll probably be tonight. I'm grinding my way through it.
Okay, well, we'll get you off the air. Thank you for honoring us with your presence here on Oilers Now.
No, it's not that much of a hardship, Bob. Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. That's Elliot Friedman. It is 5:54 in Edmonton. Bob, I don't know if you're watching Buffalo giving it to Ottawa. It's a good old-fashioned butt-kicking. Yeah, it is 5-0 for the Senators after the first period. And we will tell you that the Senators are undefeated this season when scoring 5 goals in the first period. If you know what I mean. You're invited to join New West Travel on an Avalon River cruise next March. Explore Southeast Asia. You go to Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand. It's a 19-day tour. It includes a 7-night river cruise with gourmet meals, fine wines, and daily tours. You'll be immersed in the cultures and ancient traditions. You'll sightsee and spend time in the most fascinating places along the mighty Mekong River. Book by the end of March to save $1,300 per person. For full details, contact newwesttravel.com. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, this text comes in from Kevin. Nobody cares about you checking your memory of this nonsense. Be prepared for your job. Not good radio. You seem to pass the buck all the time. Time to pass the mic, says Kevin. Is that my cousin, Kevin, that's texted on the show? What, because I wasn't sure if the DuPont kid was a defenseman or a forward. Is that what he's alluding to? Well, Kevin, thank you for the positive energy. It's a wonderful text. I will tell you that, you know, you can text us and you can enter to win the Text of the Week draw where winners receive 3 months of washes at my favorite car wash, Great White Car Wash, 10004 169th Street. We will tell you, I am going to pass the mic to Brendan Escott. He's going to take over the second hour of the show. He's got Rob Brown, he's got John Shannon and Reed Wilkins coming up. We'll head off to a global news weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn, and Brendan will guide you home the final hour of the show.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.